Come on, make some noise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Father, we thank you, God. And we thank you for your blessing on this house, Father. We thank you that not a word Richard prayed, Father, will hit the ground empty in Jesus' name. We thank you for this church, God. We thank you that we are strong in your might, God. We thank you that you are doing all that you have called us to do through this body, Lord God. And we thank you for your anointing as it destroys the yoke of the devil, God. We pray for our schools. We pray for our kids, God. But we pray for the heart of man, God. Because no law, no policy is going to override the heart of people. God. So we thank you that salvation is spread on this mountain. Salvation is spread in our schools, God. Salvation is spread in our country, Lord God. Salvation is spread in our jobs, Lord God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that message being spread and the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father, coming out of the mouth of every person that is here. Because every person that is here is the answer to what's going on. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. All right, you may be seated. God bless you. Let's just kind of jump right into this. So let me kind of just warn you. This is going to seem like it's kind of going all over the place. I'll bring it back together in the end because we're going to deal with something that most people are not thinking about. So when we bring up something that most people are not thinking about, your mind will reject it. Does that make sense? But even though it could be an obvious truth that's sitting right in front of us. So we had a powerful 7 weeks. How many of y'all learned something from God first? I mean, testimonies are just rolling in, Quinnall. They're rolling in. People have put God first, and it's not the reason that we're doing it. People getting promotions. People's marriages being restored. People receiving miracles. Come on, somebody. And it's a dogfight. It's a dogfight to put God first. But can I tell you something? It should not be. Because God wakes up every day, and let me tell you something, God is busier than you. Come on, y'all, God is busier than you. How many of y'all would agree God is busier than you? You think God's busier than you, Steve, keeping the planets where they need to go, right? But guess what? And this is hard to believe. With 7 billion people on the earth, God wakes up, he's busy, he's got a lot of information, he's processing, but you're on his mind. Now stop, because sometimes we just skip over the love of God. We skip over the reckless love of God, the unstoppable love of God. God loves you. Jesus loved you so much, he left everything in heaven and came down here, Lance, and he died for you. And he hung on a cross, and he let his creation kill him, Philip. God loves you. And we just think, oh, I'm going to church, and I'm coming back home. No, forget all that. God loves you with every ounce of his being. And he's thinking about you, Greg. He's thinking about you. When you cry, he cries. When you are tired, he's tired for you. When you are weeping, he's weeping for you. And we're forgetting sometimes how much God loves you. He loves you and you are the first thing on his mind. But the problem is he is not the first thing on ours. And I'm going to talk about in this series why he is not the first thing on ours. So this is very important. This is very important now. We did God first for 7 weeks, and one of the dangerous things about a series is really good because it leads you someplace, but then you forget after the series is over the principles. When the series is happening, we should be mastering it. So right now, you and I should master not getting out of bed unless we're reading the words of Jesus. Are we seeking and craving Jesus' words over Facebook first, over Instagram first? Come on, kids. And so I'm going to deal with the number one thing that'll stop God, Phyllis, from being first. Because it's one thing to learn about it. It's another thing to put into practice the things, George, that are going to help us keep him first. Does this make sense? So just stay with me today. It's going to seem like this, but I promise that I'm going to bring it back to you. Everybody say revelation in the age of information. That's the issue. Mama's the issue. Can I tell you something? We're going to really dig this up. And young people, us older people, we're kind of in our habit. I really need to speak to you. This is the Amazon generation. Listen, older people. I mean, 26 and above. This is the Amazon generation. This generation of young people has no idea what it's like to go shopping without it coming to your door. The way we live, John, has altered how our kids think. They can't wait. They can't be still. So listen to me. We, seeking convenience, have created a world that causes our kids not to crave revelation, but to crave information. And when you crave information, you make yourself busy. Somebody going to talk to me today. When you crave revelation, watch this, Vine, you make yourself be at peace. Are y'all ready? And we have no idea. We mean well, but we get up and we hit the ground running, Glenn. And then we here's how Jesus fits into our life. Oh, I forgot to pray. Oh, I forgot to read. Come on, y'all. So we're going to unearth some things over these next 5 to 6 weeks, Moses, that are going to keep God first in our heart. But there have got to be some transformation in our patterns, in the way we think and the way we move. And how many know God deserves it? And I'm telling you, if you'll grab this one, if you can sustain and maintain God first, you'll live longer. You'll be healthier. Come on. Your marriages will be stronger. Come on. Your relationship with your children will be stronger. You won't spend as much money. Y'all have no idea. You wait till we break this off. The information flowing to you, all the husbands are patting their wives. See, that's why we come to church. So you have no idea that you are being programmed to spend money you don't have. You have no idea. When you get them, get on that computer, Google and them are doing some illegal stuff, and they are data mining your brain. They are data mining your choices. They are data mining your functions, and they are sending to your computer and your phone specific advertisement and marketing that will make you spend money you did not plan on spending, and they're doing it at a rate that is incredible. But if you keep craving information, you will be worse off at the end of that information. So are y'all ready? Here we go. Everybody say God versus information. God versus information. Now, I'm going to say some things, and they're not going to sound right, and you're not going to agree, right? And it's okay, right? But let me tell you something, and this is not going to compute. God hates information. No, he doesn't, Mark. He wants us to get a degree and be smart. Yes. Let me help you with something. God hates information. Because information goes to your soul. And the scripture says that your soul's at war with God. So how can God love something and like something that's at war with him? Revelation is deposited through communion into your spirit. And then your soul processes what God is telling you so you can execute what God is telling you, not so you can have all this information in your soul and be telling him what to do. I'm going to show you in the scripture today. When you are full of information, you will start telling God what to do. When y'all don't want today. When you are full of revelation, he'll tell you what to do. Now that right there is probably too big for you to get. So let me say it again, then we're going to move on. When you're full of information, you will tell God what to do. When you're full of revelation, he's telling you what to do. All right, I'll prove it. Everybody's looking at me like, can you be sick again? Okay. So, listen, we covered so much in our dynamic series on God first. Now we need to make sure we can sustain and maintain God first. It's not enough for you to say God is first. You and I have to maintain and sustain that. So there's got to be a system in place. Position is everything. And we're going to discover some hidden truths that are out in the open. And these are the reasons God is not first. Now, this is very important. Putting someone or something first is a matter of priority. Say priority. It's a matter of priority, but priority comes from value. Say value. Listen again. Priority comes from value. You understand, Tara? If I'm going to prioritize something, it's based on how I value it, right? Value is stronger than choice. Repeat after me. Value is stronger than choice. Because what you value will actually drive your choice. Listen, this is going to be huge, young people. And if you're in a situation where you're trying to change something or transform something in your life, maybe you've been through an addiction or maybe you've been through some problems, it's not your choice. People focus in on choice, and a lot of rehab programs focus in on choice. They'll say, okay, you're making the wrong choice, or you got something in front of you, Lorenzo, and you need to choose this. We want all of our kids to make the right choice, right? Listen, we don't want our kids to make the right choice over, we want our kids to value the right thing. You could go home and have problems with your wife or husband and say, you know what, we're going to do better and I'm going to choose differently. And instead of going to the bar after work, I'm going to go home. And you can say all those different things. But if you value the community, if you value the connection at the bar, you are not going to make the right choice. Come on, somebody, look at me today. If you value being around the boys more than you value being around your wife, it might not be the bar, but it'll be something else. It'll be a sport. It'll be a hobby. And the thing is not what you are choosing. And even though you argue about your choice, your wife will say, you never come home. That is not the issue. Coming home is not the issue, Evola. Here's what the issue is. The issue is that you value the company of someone else other than your wife first. Or if you're a wife, you value the company of your girls over your husband. So you can say you're going to choose something different, but if you don't look at what you value, we're going to end with this today. If you don't look, it's called value judgment. If you don't look at how you use value, you will never choose the right thing or the right person. Is somebody going to talk to me? Now, let me say this, look straight ahead so you don't get struck by lightning. You ready? Ready, Archie? Here's the problem with God first, and nobody's going to admit it. We don't value him first. So we don't choose him first. See how you looking? Because you don't want to say that because you think God going to hear you, and if he hears you, he might like strike you down with leprosy or something. Let me tell you something. All of us in this place, God already knows how you value him. God already knows what you think about him. He can look at your checkbook and tell what you think about him. He can look at your calendar and tell what you think about him. Anybody going to talk to me? God already knows how you value him. God already knows what you think about him by where he fits in your day. So we can hallelujah and shout and say God first, and we're going to choose God. But it's not your choice that's the issue about God. It's what you value. Does this make any sense? Okay, stay with me. Now, take your outline and turn it over. I gave you some information. Oh, man, it's hot. Is it hot? I'm still sick. I don't feel good. Mommy, come here, hold me. If I wasn't preaching, I would go right down there and say, no offense, Kendra, and let my mama hold me. Oh, man. All right, so young people, listen to this. I know you've never heard of this. It's something called a newspaper. And no, watch, you're laughing. You're laughing. Most young people have never held a newspaper. Why? When they can hold their phone. Young people do not get by. They don't get news from newspaper. Remember back in the day, you came home and the newspaper, and you was mad if it was wet or the dog chewed it up. Come on, Brenda. You would get home and you would sit in the you would calm down because it wasn't 1,000 channels. You would wait till the news came on. Now the news is pushed to you 24 hours a day. Come on, y'all. I'm telling you, we're going to go through some things. Because here's the thing. You might say, Mark, what are you talking about? God's being crowded out. I'm just telling you, this is the bottom line. And you can shout in here and say whatever in here and buy the book, Greatest Words Ever Spoken. But if you don't understand what I'm getting ready to teach you over these next 5 weeks, then you're never going to put God first. You're going to break Exodus 20 verses 1 through 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And everything in your life is going to continue to be a circle and be a wreck. Is anybody going to talk to me? Right now in 2007, and think about that, that's 12 years ago. How many years is that? 11. 11 years ago. So this data I'm giving you is 11 years old. Right now in 2007, people were receiving, Chino, watch this, the equivalent of 174 newspapers a day. Think about sitting down after work back in the 80s and reading 174 newspapers, Tony. You couldn't be able to do it. But you guys, that's how much information is pushed to you, right? So on the back of your outline, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but I gave you a lot of different things, but I'm going to hone in on one thing. And it's really huge, Audrey. It's really huge. Now, remember, I said it's going to jump around today, so you got to connect the dots, right? So watch, Greg. What you value is more important than what you choose. Because what you value will drive what you choose. Now, you ready? Now, watch this. There are 295 exabytes. Have you even heard of an exabyte? I've never heard of an exabyte. Okay, that's how many zeros it is. Look at that. 29, 500, 000, 000, 000, 000, 000, 000, 000, 000, 000. 295, but there's a reason I'm showing you. There's 295 exabytes of pieces of information floating around the world. Does that make sense? Most people have more data on their wrist than they had 100 years ago in the entire earth. You got to understand this. Now, the young people already know this, but they don't even think about this because they were born into this. This is their matrix. Okay, listen to me. Digital information is the matrix for young people. Chewy, they've been born into it. So now with 295 exabytes of information, Mike, floating around the whole world, this is enormous. And watch, it's 315 times the number of grains of sand. Now just stop. First of all, how can you even measure the grains of sand? If you put it in your hand, there could be millions of grains just in your hand. This amount of data that's in a newspaper, on a telephone, please listen. That amount of data floating around, Rena, is 315 times the number of grains of sand. What does that do to the mind? What do you think that does to your soul? Do you think that maybe you're being a little bit manipulated with that amount of data floating? Come on. Now watch this. This is crazy. So Dr. Hilbert did this study. He's out of a college. And he pointed out it's still less than 1% of the information that is stored in the DNA of a single human being. Now stop. DNA stores your biological information of how you grow and how you develop. Now listen to me again. You got to grab this. 295 exabytes of information floating around the world. That's 315, Miss Sandra, times the number of grains of sand. That much data is still less than 1% of what Jesus encoded in your DNA, and there's still another 99% of information inside your double helix. Are you getting this? No, you're not. Are you getting this? God is so deep that all the information in the world that exists is less than 1% of the data that exists in you. Here's the point. Why would you crave the information instead of the creator? You didn't get it. Some of you are waking up when your phone runs out, when your battery runs out, you will feel like you're going to have a heart attack because your phone is bringing all this 295 exabytes of information to you. And if your battery runs down, you act like you're going to lose your mind when 30 years ago you didn't carry your phone. Somebody ain't going to talk to me today. Your phone now is the smartphone. It's a smartphone. Can I help you? Smartphones don't help dumb people. So don't buy a smartphone and think now you've arrived, right? I don't know about you. I don't like smartphones. I don't like when I get in my car and my phone tells me how long it's going to take me to get home. I'm not going home. I'm going to Sonic. My phone is trying, y'all not listening to me. We're going to be in this. Your phone is trying to tell you what to do. The convenience of the phone, Lindsay, and the pleasure of the phone, and I know it's easy to pick up the phone and say, give me the nearest restaurant. I know that that's good, and I know that it's convenient, but I'm going to show you something. The devil is the god of this world, and he is the god of this cosmos, and this cosmos is full of 295 exabytes of data, and he is trying his best to overrun the revelation God is trying to give you through the Word of God. He does not want you to read. He does not want you to pray. He does not want you to be still. He does not want you to be still and know that He is God. He wants you craving. He wants you reading. He wants you consuming data. And He's filtering His message through the data. And that data is at war with the heart of Jesus Christ. And the devil can't produce 1% of what God produced inside of your double helix. But God is being crowded out. Because Facebook, their own executives are turning on them. They've studied how your brain works, and they're taking advantage of how you process information. And kids are more depressed because of their connections. Kids are more depressed because of the amount of likes they didn't get. A child's world is massive. And the bigger it gets, the smaller their security gets. The more information that flows, the less good they feel about themselves. The devil is the god of this world, and he is the god of those 295 exabytes, and he is trying his best to filter down to earth. Tanya, you ready? Everything heaven is not. Please listen. He was around God. He knows how God thinks. He knows what God loves. He knows what God hates. And he has created a world that is so busy and full of non-revelation that he is trying to turn a whole generation against the heart and the spirit of God so that we no longer have mercy, so that we no longer flow in love. We were at prayer this morning at 9 o'clock. Y'all need to come to prayer at 9 o'clock. I said, how dare us? We had the Parkland shooting, and we should be overwhelmed. We should have been overwhelmed at Newtown. We should have been overwhelmed at Columbine. But somebody explained to me, and this is the result of information. Somebody explained to me how we allow God to be the God of the crisis, and we send prayers to the victims. We send prayers to the family. We send prayers at Congress. We send prayers from the president. We send prayer this, prayer that. And God is the God of the crisis. But what do you think is going to happen when you don't allow prayer the other 6 days? What do you actually think is going to happen when you take down a sign and in the middle of the sign at school, it says, thou shalt not kill. You remove the sign and now you acting crazy because somebody's in that building killing people. You didn't even tell them not to. See, somebody going to talk to me today. Why is he the God of the crisis is, but he can't be the God every day. If you kick God out every day, it's going to be a crisis. But now the battle is over information. And now all the people, information. We need this, gun control. We don't need gun control. We need this, we need that. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need a generation of kids to have the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, because their parents and the adults and the politicians are being still and knowing who God is and the source of what we do, the source of who we are. The source is coming from revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need. So let me tell you a story. It's a famous story, but people don't look at this story correctly. Y'all ready? We don't need information. We need revelation first. I'm not against you learning, and I'm not against you being smart, but can I tell you something? And this is true. Ready, Mom? Somebody stand up and prove to me that after 295 exabytes of information, we act better. And I'll sit down. Tell me after 295 exabytes, there's more babies alive. Tell me. Tell me the family's better. Tell me the church is stronger. Somebody tell me, because we got Google and Facebook, and you can take a picture of your food and send it to all your friends. Somebody tell me that with 295 exabytes of information, we act better, love one another, stay married more, love our children more, love God. Somebody tell me. Come on, somebody talk to me up in here today. Come on, talk to me. Come on. That much information. Do we love God more? That much information. Are there less wars? Are there less rumors of wars? Come on, somebody. Is there less sin? Come on. Because it seems like if we get smarter, we ought to be doing better. The goal is not to be smarter. The goal is to be righteous. What is righteous? What is righteousness? Standing right before God. How you and I stand before God is all that matters. Not what's in your head, not your degree, not how much money you make, not what you accomplished, is that you can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the house if he says, well done. Why? Because you've been living off of revelation, not information. We are not better. We are worse because of the 295 exabytes of information. But here's the thing. All of us wake up in the morning and we crave information. And information causes busyness. And busyness is the enemy of peace. Y'all remember Mary and Martha? Watch this. We're going to look at something different. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Who's Martha? Huh? Martha got a brother. Who is he? Lazarus. Martha has a sister. What's her name? Mary. Now watch this. Let me teach you these scriptures. Watch this, Vaughn. So who welcomed Jesus into the house? Martha, not Mary. Martha's the one always dogged out. Right? But who welcomed Jesus in? Who? Why didn't Mary welcome him in? No, Martha was the one busy. Come on, I'm going to teach you something. You ready, Doug? Martha put Jesus first. See, sometimes you read a story so much you think you know what it is, but you got to let the Holy Spirit reveal. So Martha put Jesus first. Jesus comes, he's got a bunch of people, and watch this, Mike. Martha says, come on in, Jesus, and welcomes him in. He's probably thirsty, his feet are dirty, he wants to eat, and so Martha puts God first. So watch this. It's not enough for me and you, watch this, Vic, it's not enough for me and you to put God first. We got to keep him first. The reason you know the story is because she didn't keep him first. Somebody talk to me. So this is important. Watch, Felicia. She welcomes Jesus in first. Mary does not. So she welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. Say Mary. who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, we're going to break the scripture down. Watch, Ray. Who also? Say also. So it says, she, Martha, invited Jesus in, puts Jesus as the priority, and then it introduces her sister, which is Mary, and it says, and she what? Also. What does also mean? Huh? Who also sat at Jesus' feet. Other people have already sat down at Jesus' feet. So they introduce Martha's sister as somebody in the house who also sat at Jesus' feet. Jesus comes in and starts teaching, giving revelation. And as he's giving revelation, everybody collapses and sits down at his feet. Watch, Angie, including Mary. So they're telling you that Mary is doing what other people are doing. And other people, watch this, are choosing, you ready? Revelation over information. But Martha was distracted. With what? Much serving. Now stay with me, because I'm not going where you think I am. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. But Martha was distracted with much. Is there anything wrong with serving? No. So Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, what? Tell her to help me. Now, can I tell you something? Please listen. Oh, this is crazy. This is crazy. It's hard to put God first when you're serving God. This is why Christians are not a good example. Oh. Of relationship with Jesus. And this is why the world is not better. Christians are professional church people. But we're not good, watch mine, we're not good at relationship. What's going to transform the earth is relationship with the Creator, not information flowing from an organization. Martha is serving God. Please listen, because almost all of us are guilty. Martha is serving God, so it's hard for her to keep him first. She thinks she's done her job by inviting Jesus in. You and I have not done our job by getting saved and inviting Jesus in. Christians stop at salvation. She stopped at inviting Jesus into the house when she should have stopped doing everything she was doing and sat at his feet so she could become a disciple. It's not enough to invite him in. You have to stay with him. And we think because we're serving Jesus, that means he's first. It does not. Can I say something else? Because you look shocked. Okay? Serving God, it's hard to put him first because you put the service of God as relationship with God. So then the people know you come to church. They know you serve. They know you usher. They know you do media. They know you do usher. They know you do parking lot. They know you can preach. They know you can sing. But they see no transformation because you are still worried and troubled. What did you say, Mark? You are still worried and troubled. Mark is still worried and troubled. Why is Mark, as a pastor, still worried and troubled? Why are you still worried and troubled after 30 years of being with God? Come on, can I talk to you? Because, Deborah, we've been taught that if we invite Jesus in, that we are okay. That is only the first step. Martha had enough sense to invite Jesus in, Rena, but watch this. She did not have enough sense to sit at his feet. I know this ain't good, but it's okay. When you invite Jesus in, but don't sit at his feet, spend time, and get revelation, you begin to tell him what to do. You didn't get that. I don't tell God what to do, Mark. Think about when you pray. If we analyzed your prayers, how much of your prayers would benefit others and not you? Let me say it again. Because when Jesus gives revelation, it always skips you and is for other people. And then you reap where you have not sown, and he takes care of you because you're taking care of others. What did Jesus, somebody explain to me what Jesus got from the revelation of go die on the cross? Anybody want to tell me how good he felt, Sheridan? How he was just hanging up there feeling good? Everything God spoke to his son was to benefit other people. I'm telling you, we're going to get deep in this series. Revelation is not for you. Revelation is for others through you. And that's why you don't want it. Information is for you. You love information because information tell you what numbers to play. Information tell you what lottery ticket. Information tells you what to do over here. Information tells you what to do over there. And you don't know that all that information is flowing from a system that is driven by the evil one. When God gives you revelation, it'll cause self-sacrifice. When God gives revelation, it'll cause you to die. When God gives revelation, it'll cause submission. There can be no submission if there's no real revelation. I told you, come on, somebody talked to me 2 weeks ago. We were talking about husbands and wives, and I got a lot of feedback and a lot of flack. I said, the woman gets to submit, but the man gets to die. And she'll submit the more deader he is. If he's following Christ, she'll follow him. When you don't have revelation from God and you're not being still, you will start telling God what to do. I don't do that. Yes, you do. Jesus, can you give me a car? Jesus, can you give me a job? Jesus, can you give me a husband? Jesus, can you give me a wife? Jesus, can you help me with this? Jesus, can you help me with that? Gee, tell me how much of your prayer, since we've been talking about it at church, tell me how much of your prayer time is for children of incarcerated parents. Tell me how much when you wake up in the morning, you're praying for children of incarcerated parents. I am, and I'm not been incarcerated. I don't have kids that are incarcerated, but God gave me a revelation. He didn't give me no information. And now because of that revelation, it is moving me to do things that are outside of what I would do. So when I'm praying, Lord, please give our church favor with children of incarcerated parents, because we know on Thursday and Friday night, 52% of the people that we deal with that get out of jail on Thursday and Friday night, 52% of them had parents who were incarcerated. Why do we know this? Because I care to know it. And we measure it, and we know what's going on. So because of that revelation now, I'm praying for children that ain't got nothing to do with me. Y'all don't want to talk to me today. We'll judge Martha, and Martha's telling Jesus what to do. Tell her to do this. Tell her to do that. But we tell Jesus what to do, Mike, all the time, because we are not being still and knowing that he's God. We want information which keeps us busy, not revelation which gives us peace. I told you it's going to seem like it's all over, but it's okay. You'll be all right. Martha is busy serving God, but she don't have no relationship. And people that don't have no relationship get mad at people who do. And when you get mad at people who do, you start getting mad at the one they have a relationship with. Okay, I'm going to sit down there. Who is Martha mad at? She's not mad at Mary. Who's she mad at? She's mad at Jesus. How many of y'all are mad at Jesus? See, you won't ever admit it. You won't ever admit it, but there's so many people here who are mad at Jesus, and the reason you're mad at Jesus is because you're worried and you're full of trouble. And the reason you're worried and you're full of trouble is because when it comes time to choose revelation over information, you choose information, and information make you matter. Okay. Yeah, I don't. Okay. So do me a favor. Go home for 2 weeks and don't watch the news and see if you feel better. Do you realize they know that news has to be full of murder and death or you won't watch it? News, Eddie, is not full of they got a puppy out of the tree. Come on, somebody, talk to me. I'm trying to show you something. The more information you acquire, the more angrier you are. The more angrier you are, the less relationship you have with the Prince of Peace. Martha is mad at Jesus. She's not mad at Mary because she's busy. Why is Martha busy? She's busy because of information. Stop. What information? Go back and study these times. When you have a guest that comes into your house, you are to feed that guest and take care of that guest. Come on, somebody ain't gonna talk to me. So Martha is responding to information in the culture. And the information in the culture says to serve Jesus. But Jesus always has this crazy way of going against the culture and telling people, watch this, Jessica, to do what they're not wanting to do that the culture says they should do. That's why the Sadducees and Pharisees killed him, because he was coming against the information of the time, because he was bringing revelation of all eternity. The kingdom of God is at hand. He wasn't saying do what you normally do. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, when he calls your name twice, or when he says your name twice, it is a definitive command. He said, Martha, Martha. So he's grabbing everyone's attention. Watch, Brenda. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. He did not say you should not be serving. He did not say you're in trouble for making me some fish sticks. That's not what he said. He said, you have a pattern, Martha, and I'm going to tell you one in a minute because it's not in your notes. He said, you got a pattern that when you should choose to be still, you are busy. And you are busy because the amount, washes Joe, of information that's flowing to you, and you're taking information over revelation. The only one that can give revelation, Margie, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But to do that, you have to stop what you're doing and be still and know that I am God. Martha, I raised your brother from the dead. But you still don't know who I am, because your whole relationship is through serving. But one thing is needed. How many things? With 295 exabytes of information, it's hard, Sonya, just to do one thing. But Jesus said, in all this going on, there's one thing, Al, that is needed. He said, Mary has chosen that good part. Oh, I don't have time to preach this one. Which will not be taken away from her. Look at me real quick. Information you will forget. Revelation is eternal. Information you will forget. Revelation is eternal. When you read your word, it is forever deposited in you. And if they outlaw Bibles or change them online, you will never forget, George, what you read. If revelation is put in your spirit, it cannot be forgotten, because forgotten is an activity of the soul. The soul has your mind, will, and emotions. And when you forget things in your mind. But when you get revelation, and revelation from the word goes into your spirit, it cannot be forgotten. So revelation is eternal. That's why you need to seek the creator that put all these bytes of information in less than 1% of your DNA than the information that's coming from the evil one. Look at the scripture. Mary has chosen the good part. Please listen to me. If you get up in the morning and you read the greatest words ever spoken, and you read your scriptures, and you get hear from God first, Mom, you will be able to discern for the next 23 hours what is the good part. Those of you know, if you've been reading the book we told you to get, you're smarter. You're sharper. Your focus has been better. Your discernment is better. You're not doing some of the things that you should do, because if you wake up in the morning, Pastor Mark, I got to be at work at 5 in the morning, then your butt better get up at 3:30. I'm telling you, if you get up earlier in the morning and give Jesus just 20%, just 20 minutes, Phyllis, he will give you discernment through the whole day, and you won't waste no time. He'll give you rest for your soul. If you, y'all don't want this, if you get up early in the morning, Keith, and read the words of Jesus, he'll help you discern what you don't have to do during the day. And if you do less, you will have more rest. Oh, y'all don't want that. If you do less, you will have more rest. And the only way to do less is to have revelation about the good part. Jesus said, Mary has got the good part. Why? Because she sat at my feet and she was listening. You were trying to make fish sticks and biscuits. She sat down. She was still. She knows who I am. She knows what I'm about. Revelation must be craved, Evola, over information. And if you get revelation first, you will learn how to process the rest of the information the rest of the day. Oh, my God. He said it won't be taken from her. Let me hurry up. So that's our story. Oh, I'm so tired. Jesus, John the Baptist, Mary, and Martha, whoever. You must crave him over anything or anybody else. Because the thing you are craving, or the one you are craving, kill you. The devil's trying to keep you busy so you can't be still. I didn't get a chance, Brooke, but I was going to have you make give me an image of a person sitting in a rocking chair on a porch. I'm 50 years old, and I used to go to my grandparents' house. I'm from Indiana. Y'all don't have porches out here because you get shot. But you know, porch in California, people rocking, pow! People driving by, west side, no. Okay, so in Indiana, we had porches. So 40 years ago, I used to ride my bike. I'm sorry. 40 years ago, I used to ride my bike, and I would ride past the porch, and my grandpa and grandma would be sitting on the porch. Anybody have this image? Come on, y'all have the image. Some of y'all from the South. And they just weren't busy. They weren't busy. They would wave at people that went by, and they knew who went by because they cared about the people who went by. The neighbors would come out, and this lady would come out across the street. My grandmother and grandpa lived on Broadway, and she would come out, and she would sweep. She had her pajamas on. Come on, this is Indiana. It's called a moo-moo, but you don't know about that. She would be sweeping the porch, and she would wave, and they would stop, and she would put her. I watched her 1,000 times. She put her broom down, and she would talk to my grandmother, and my grandmother would talk to her, and they would see, oh, dang. and they were still. Can I ask you a question? How come people could be still 30 or 40 years ago? Tell me, Phyllis. Why? Say it again. They didn't have the information. But how come my grandmother lived to be 98? With less medicine. She was what? She was rested. The two generations before, listen, young people, they were rested. And you got to listen to me, and we're going to go deep in this. They were rested because they had less information. You don't realize that when you get up in the morning and crave information, you are making yourself busier because now you have to handle more data. Back then, they only got their information really from a newspaper and half read that. It wasn't pushed to them by their smartphone, which is making us dumber. Listen again. Your smartphone makes you dumber. You can't spell anymore because your text, y'all don't want to talk to me. You think I'm playing? We're going to go somewhere for 5 weeks. You cannot spell. Young people cannot spell. You give them a pencil and paper, and they start shaking because they don't have to spell. They can type, though. They can type. They can type. And typing is not with your thumbs. Typing is with all 10 digits. But you can't even spell because it spells, checks it for you because it thinks it knows what you're going to say. Do you understand? So are you smarter because of your smartphone, or don't take offense to this, or are you dumber? No, listen. We're dumber because of the convenience of information. The scripture says, Mark, sit down and learn to be still so I can speak to you in the stillness. Then you can use your degree. Then you can use your information. But you must get the revelation first. And this is what I'm going to try to teach you over 5 weeks. It is the craving of revelation, Brianna, that has to be first so I can process the bombardment of the 295 exabytes of information being pushed to manipulate me through deception by the enemy. Now, so what's the problem? And we're going to be done. It's value judgment. So I'm going to teach you some concepts, Dad. You ready? Everybody say value judgment. Let me hurry up because I'm out of time. A value judgment is an assessment of a person, situation, or event. I'm teaching you how to keep God first. Watch. If I make a value judgment, Greg, watch. I'm assessing a person, a situation, or an event. The term is restricted, though, to assessments that reveal the values of the person. Listen, if I make a value judgment, it is the values of, watch Moses, of Mark Graham over, watch this, over the objective reality of what is being assessed. Mike, remember we were doing subjective, objective? Subjective is in the mind of the person. Objective, Melinda, is in the mind of the object. So if I'm looking at, if I'm making a value judgment, here's what the definition is telling me. It's Mark's value of this monitor over the object of the monitor. Watch. I don't care as much about this monitor as the people who were just up here singing. Oh, this is it. It's the same object, though. But the value judgment, Mom, is different. They need it to sing. So their value on the object is higher, Harina, than my value on the object because I don't use it to sing. Listen to me. This is why different people have different relationships with Jesus, because he's like the monitor. Joe, he's the monitor. If I don't need him to sing, I don't get up in the morning and deal with him. Is it the object or is it the value judgment? The reason we don't put God first and can't maintain God and can't sustain God is because, come on, somebody, you wake up in the morning and you don't believe you need him. Because you're smart. You got a good job. All your bills are paid. You're not sick. You don't. Y'all don't want. You don't need Jesus. Everything's going really good. Your business is going really good. Your little college is going really good. Everything's going good. You with the person that you love. You love them. They love you. You don't think you got to get up and get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, come to me. You don't think you got to get up and say, Lord Jesus, talk to me. Why? Because you ain't got no problems. And y'all wait till we get to this on that week. People are making value judgments about the Lord Jesus Christ based on their crisis, not based on their daily routine. And it's the daily routine of craving information that draws you further away from the revelation, because the more information you get, the more this system rewards you. You don't want to talk to me today. The more degrees you get, the more money they pay you. I'm not against it, but here's what I want to tell you. Your degree ain't going to help you, Steve Jobs, when they tell you you have stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now you need a revelation from the healer. You need a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't no information gonna do anything about that cancer growing inside you. You better know that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, and you better know how to receive that. Most of us have a problem in our value judgment. Oh, I don't got time. I'm out of time. Jesus rebuked Martha not for what everybody thinks. Everybody preaches a story that he rebuked her for serving and not sitting. No, there is nothing wrong with serving. There is something wrong with worrying, though, and there's something wrong with being troubled when you're in front of the Prince of Peace. Notice what somebody talked to me up in here today. You know what Jesus said, Kendra? You know what he said to her? He said, Martha, Martha. He didn't say you are serving, trying to make sure the information of the culture told her to serve. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and you are troubled about what? Many things. Can I tell you a story? It's in the scripture. Can I tell it to you? Watch this. When Lazarus died, how many of y'all know that Jesus hung back? Okay, watch, Vaughn. Jesus hung back and let him die. He said, the sickness is not unto death. Right. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Because Jesus didn't show up, Nicole, everybody was all in trouble and everybody was all worrying, right? But then somebody said, hey, Jesus is coming. Guess who ran out to see Jesus? See, you didn't read that. Martha. Martha ran out. Don't that look like a good thing? She ran out because she was worried. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me today. She ran out because she was troubled. She was troubled. Jesus, y'all, she didn't run out and worship him. She ran out and said, where was you? Yo, y'all don't want to. She ran out because she's not at peace. She, Mary's in the house. Y'all don't want this. Mary's in the house. Mary's in the house at peace. They said, Jesus is coming. She says, I know. I know he's coming. Just because he didn't come when I want him to doesn't mean he ain't gonna come. Mary said, I know he's coming. So I'm at peace. I am being still. And I know that he's God. He might not have come and raised Lazarus from the dead. But let me tell you something. When he comes, he can raise Lazarus from the... Mary has relationship. And Mary stayed put. Martha ran out and criticized Jesus again. That's why he told her, you worried and troubled. Martha, you always worry. You always trouble because you don't choose the good part. There's many parts, Martha. You ran out and didn't tell me, good to see you. You can still raise him from the dead. You ran out and said, where were you? My brother died. Come on, Sam. She said, where were you? And Mary's in the house. And Jesus just passed Martha and said, Martha, you just like all the modern day Christians. You are worried and troubled about many things. You come to church and you are still worried and troubled about many things. Because coming to church is not coming to Jesus. Coming to Jesus is opening up that book every single day and craving what Jesus is saying. And when you crave the words from the Prince of Peace, you